For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now back to your regular programming.
If you speak better to yourself.
You showed up for like probably the dumbest conversation we've ever had on this show.
Let's have that smile again.
Tell me how that happens. Physically should not happen.
Relax. Just,
if you say.
Give me as well.
Three times a day. God will light it up.
He's just an absolute hack. And he gets his ass kicked by his teammates every week.
Welcome back to Hack City. Joe DeLeon, Sean Anderson, two former college football players from the University of Rhode Island. And today we've got another college football offseason. I actually shouldn't even call it a college football mailbag anymore. Nonsense mailbag here on Hack City, as well as thoughts on the college football playoff officially being formatted. We're going to talk a little bit about Jack Collinsworth no longer being the play-by-play man for Notre Dame football. Going to get to the EA college football game coming out and our knowledge on which teams are going to be participating in it, as well as some thoughts on a controversial discussion regarding a concert that happened. It was a couple clips going around. A lot of evidence going around. If you don't know what we're talking about, we're going to get to that later on. Folks, if you want to drop any questions for later on in the show, please do so. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio, at Hack City Pod. Hit the subscribe button, hit that like button, let us know what you think, as well as dropping a review wherever you're tuning in on the podcast form. Sean, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing pretty good, and I'll just jump right into the this will tie into the read a little bit also. Don't worry about it. I was in North Carolina this past weekend doing some work, about a 4.5-5 hour drive, and you know, we could say I've had an up and down last couple of months. I think Joe has been privy to some of it. I'm driving home. You know, I'm not really listening to much music, just kind of sitting with my thoughts, not digging a ton of them, just driving home, driving, churning. And I get back to my door and I got the heavy bag. And then I'm just like, this just stinks. This whole day stinks. I'm dehydrated, I'm a bit hungover, not doing good. And then I placed a bet on college basketball. My whole day turned around. I didn't even know if I won or lost. I just had some juice. I had some action. That's how I was feeling. And I did it at Bet Online with up to the minute's odds, stats, and trends. You can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting contests and all the best player props. Head to Bet Online today to become part of the team. And remember to use our promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here.
I got to re-up my funds on BetOnline. They took the last bit of money that I had during the NFL playoffs. I know I've said this a million times. I bet my ass off during the college football season. I work my way up to a nice little pool. I usually start with like $25. I got up to $250, blew it all in the NFL playoffs. I think I hit like one good bet during the NFL playoffs.
That's what you're supposed to do.
MLB betting is coming back around. So we're going to get back into doing that. Speaking of college football betting, we bet on the college football playoff, and now we're getting, obviously we know that it will be a 12-team playoff this upcoming year. However, we were still waiting on a decision for the confirmation on how this was going to play out in terms of the automatic buys, the automatic qualifiers. It has been confirmed now after a vote that we will have a 5-7 format, meaning For the four Power Four conferences, the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC will all have automatic buys for their conference champions. And then the G5 presumably will not be ranked ahead of any of those teams. We'll get an automatic qualifier for the best G5 team to play in it. The remaining seven teams will just be the at-large best seven teams to be a part of this conversation. Now, one of the biggest debates that has surfaced out of this, Sean, is where Notre Dame plays into it. They're ineligible to be an automatic qualifying team. They cannot be one of those teams that receives a bye. The highest that they can ever get is a five seed. And I have gone as far as to say, I actually think that there's going to constantly be arguments made against Notre Dame, and it'll be impossible for them to even get that five seed because the general bias that for whatever reason we have against them in the voting for this. This has also then expanded the conversation. So many people wanting to talk on the bullshit. Stephen A. Smith, I saw Brandon Walker talking about it, the relevancy of Notre Dame and if they're as relevant as everyone thinks that they are. Yet here we are talking about them. Before I give my thoughts, what are yours on this whole situation?
I think that this is actually the closest that any playoff committee has come to nailing a call. Genuinely, hey, you don't want to be a conference? Fine, you don't get an auto bid. And then we're going to work out a compromise. Holy shit, Joe, look at this. They can finally do it. They can actually do it when they want to and make a call that makes sense. You're not in a conference? That's your call. Fine. You don't get the first round bye. World beater team. You're 12-0. Whatever you are, the best you can do is five, and then we'll set you up with the best G5 team, which Notre Dame will lose to my glory and joy. But the way that we got here, the structure of it, it's the first time in a while a college athletics decision has made sense to me. For it just clicks. Where it feels like a handshake deal almost, where both parties win. What Notre Dame's kind of set up here. Notre Dame's chilling. They're doing good. You better hope they're not a 10 seed. You better hope they do have a world beater year. But other than that, what more could you want for Notre Dame? Were we going to give them preferential treatment? No. Were we going to kick them to the can? No. This is what we have. It's finally the right middle road of how to deal with these assholes that want to be different.
All right. Watch that last little
comment. What does that mean? No.
Well, okay, look. I've thought about this a little bit more, and I'm a little bit less disenfranchised by the whole thing. At the end of the day, it sucks that they can't qualify, and I really doubt that there's going to be much of a circumstance. There's going to be many circumstances where they'll be screwed out of having a bye. But at the end of the day, if they go undefeated and they play a difficult schedule, which down the line they're going to, they're always going to face some of the best teams in the ACC, and they're always going to face, they've played SEC teams, they've played Big Ten teams, they played Ohio State back-to-back last year, and then prior to that, they played Georgia back-to-back at that period of time.
That was good for them.
If they go undefeated and they have multiple highly ranked wins, theoretically against a conference champion, it's kind of bullshit that there's literally no path at all for them to get a bye. I would argue that if they earn it, they go undefeated, they have a fantastic resume, there should be some sort of a caveat of they must be undefeated or whatnot in order to qualify. I don't think that that's unjust. But part of the reason why I'm less disenfranchised by this is because they don't play a conference championship game. So they get a bye in a way, they get some time off. I just feel that if they have a really good season and things go according to plan, it's a little BS that they're going to get pushed a rung down the ladder and have to start off at five. And I still really do believe that it's going to be really hard for them to even find footing at that five spot, because there's constantly going to be arguments
made. You'll
be
lucky if they crack 12.
They're going to crack more than 12. Shut the hell up.
A lot of teams with a lot of resumes, Joe, and we'll see how it goes. But, you can't be mad at this, because Notre Dame is the kid on the team that just shows up for the game, can't make it to practice, and now he's getting upset when the team is winning, and then he doesn't get to go to the Pizza Hut party afterwards. That's what's going on, man.
Terrible analogy. That's a horrible analogy.
You want to be a part of the crew? Come join the crew. If not, then we're going to make some amendments for you. And they did, and they made a good one.
All right. I was going to say, Jonah makes a really good point here that you want Notre Dame to have over a month off before the playoffs. I get the timing of it. Like, I don't like the idea of there being a ton of time off, but naturally there was already over a month before that you had to play in the 4-team college football playoffs. So that doesn't matter so much. I just look at it of they can never have earn an easy path to the national championship. They can never. No, they can't. If they play
join the ACC.
they're not going to join the ACC.
They're not. Then you don't get an easy path.
You stink. You're an asshole. No, I am not. Yes, you are.
I'm the last person. I'm the only person that's going to be honest with you about it. That's the only reason. That's the only way it goes easy. You want to join the Big 12? You want to join the ACC? There's your auto bid. Win those.
I would argue if they joined a conference, I'd like for them to join the Big 10 because the ACC is floundering. Separate conversation for a completely different thing.
You want them in the Big 10.
But an independent Notre Dame team is good enough with an undefeated resume. They play enough good teams that it's not unjust for them to deserve to have a bye. I'm not trying to be the pissy, whiny Notre Dame fan. And I kind of am. And I sound like a Cowboys fan. I sound like a Yankees fan. Well, why don't we get everything? I sound really pissy. I know that's how a lot of us sound. Some people took it to extreme lengths on Twitter, and I'm not going to be one of those people. It just sucks. And we don't have a right to complain because Jack Swarbrick, who is our former AD, was one of the architects for this whole damn thing. And it's just him screwing us one last time. If the guy had some balls when he was putting this thing together, he would say something and say, all right, well, this 12 team is going to provide us with more opportunities, but Notre Dame deserves to, you know, be a part of this equation of the top five highest ranked. you're distracting me. The top five highest ranked conference winners or Notre Dame if they're undefeated. I don't think that's unreasonable.
All right, Joe. I also think if Notre Dame had been a little bit better in the last 3 years, maybe we're having a different conversation. They've kind of been floating around between good and great, and they landed on good instead of great. If they're great, maybe we say, all right, if they're undefeated, and you give them a clause. But Swarbrick is a realistic dude. He's one of the few treating it with some realism, looking out for the athletes, looking out for the players. This you had to compromise before it all crumbled. I'm not going to let you run Swarbrick down.
Yeah, you are.
You suck. Swarbrick was a good guest that didn't have any audio or video issues. So he's a gem in my heart forever.
He came on CFE.
He did. He was good. He was solid. He speaks like a really good AD, basically. And you're like, he's saying all the right things. How do you disagree? And then there's people
because he's a goddamn politician, and that's why I don't like him. He sucks. By the way,
we got you the fifth seed if you have a good season.
That was automatically going to be on the table. That was always going to be on the table. What do you mean? What are you making that face for?
Are you kidding? It would have only been on the table because people know they actually know Notre Dame. That's it. That's the only reason it's on.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? The remaining seven teams were going to be the at-large bids of the seven highest ranked teams in college football that didn't win their conference. Okay.
I'm saying you're lucky they gave you fifth and not eighth.
That doesn't even make sense. You're just saying shit to get me mad.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. That doesn't make sense. You think you're basically saying that they would deliberately write in that Notre Dame can't have a seed higher than eight. That would just be direct discrimination.
Because they've done stuff more sane. Come on, man.
You're a real jackass. Real rackatits. I appreciate that you're tuning in from a public restroom. I would appreciate you to turn the volume up as loud as possible. Joan, another comment here on the playoff. I love his profile picture, by the way. Get the fifth seed, beat the group of five at home in the first round, and then play the worst conference championship in the second round as their best.
They gave it to him on a platter. The problem is, you know, we better hope that some group of five teams don't come up and really show, you know, they don't show up like maybe like a Marshall or like an App State or
shut up.
That has history.
This is why I'm not disenfranchised, because there is truth to this. You don't have to play in a conference championship game. You have the week off. You can get everybody right, get in the training room, you get everything ready for the trip, and then you go. And more likely than not, you're going to probably be playing the group of five team And then also on top of this, they can't move up or down on conference championship weekend. They are going to be, if they finish undefeated or with one loss, be locked into that five spot if they have a really good resume. And you go on, you smack the group of five team. I would throw this out there. I'm a little scared of having to play the group of five team. Not, I know that sounds bad. Not because I'm worried that they're going to lose, but if in the event that they lose, it is unrecoverable. It is unbelievably unrecoverable.
It's perfect. This is a perfect compromise.
But this is why I was so
independent. You get to have it set up, but you better not lose, because we're punishing you for not being in the club, but we're rewarding you for doing well enough, building a brand, having fans. It's perfect, Joe. It's perfect. And you're going to be the only ones rooting for Notre Dame in that game. Everybody else is going to be rooting for freaking App State. It's going to be great. It's perfect.
Sure.
But that's what you all want also. You guys love being Notre Dame versus everybody. You don't want more people joining. Come on.
Stop.
Come on, Joe. Come.
No.
Give me a little bit on that.
No, you're incorrectly characterizing. Stephen A. Smith sucks, by the way, for
how
negatively he spoke on Notre Dame. I mean, there are so many other college football entities that have gone on long spurts of periods of time where they were not relevant. Like, we forget the fact that Clemson at one point was never considered to be a national championship level team until Dabo turned them into that. And in as just a quick of time has turned them into no longer being a consistent national championship level team. So there are plenty of programs in college football that have had much shorter reigns as Notre Dame. It's just so many people love to hate on them because of the fact that they were so consistently good for long periods of time.
Now, look, I've made my stance on Notre Dame clear. And I would like to acknowledge that Big Iron nailed it right on the head.
Take that comment off the screen.
I was, and you put it back. You made me put it back on. But regardless, here's Notre Dame. I have a little bit latent respect. It's just kind of hiding down there in the bottom, because every team that plays Notre Dame treats it like the Super Bowl. And I respect the players of Notre Dame acknowledging that. The coaches know it. The fans know that every time someone plays their team, they're giving 1,000%. That's brutal. There's no off weeks in November, because if you get good tape against Notre Dame, then your stock is up. So everyone's fighting their asses off. It's so hard. And you guys continue to have winning records. You still stink, but you continue to win and find success as a program. So I respect that facet of it. But the other Joes of the world hurt that side of it. You guys know that you hurt it. You hurt the product for others. You hurt the product for others.
Before that last little throw-in comment is where I stand that Notre Dame has, despite not winning a national championship, has still been consistently one of the better football. They have still, on a winning level... on a level of putting guys into the NFL, have been
one
of the most relevant. No, they are so much better than Wisconsin. Jesus Christ.
Wisconsin is a ton of guys.
They have been one of the most relevant college football programs in the country still. At least, let's shorten the window. In the past 10 years, despite them not winning, they've still gotten to the playoff. They still have played in an ACC championship game somehow, which, like, they've still done that, even though people claim that they wouldn't do well in a conference. Well, they were asked to play in a conference during COVID, and they succeeded during it. And on top of all that, they've produced way better NFL success than what Texas has done in periods of time. They have not had many spurts in their history of losing records in the 100 or so years that they have been a college football program. There have been very few instances. Alabama has had spurts where they've been terrible. LSU has had spurts where they've been terrible. Miami's been dog shit since the early 2000s.
And people revel in it. People still revel in it.
But this is why it's bullshit. Reveling in
everybody gets picked on college football.
Reveling in a team that's annoying being bad is different than reveling in a team having like three losses. Okay. Like that's what's really annoying is that everyone gets mad when, or not gets mad, but everyone loves to piss on Notre Dame when they lose, when they get their asses kicked in the one tough game that they had that year. That's my problem with it is that you have one bad game and everyone loses their mind, but Miami's getting completely dicked down by everybody that they play on a weekly basis because until they hired Mario Cristobal.
People have given up on Miami, and here, let me throw this out to you. Just a question. What's worse, the Cristobal losing to Georgia Tech, not opting to kneel, or Marshall Notre Dame? Which one's worse?
Marshall Notre Dame. Marshall Notre Dame is.
Sorry. It's hard to get worse than Cristobal. You can't say he didn't get carved up for that this past
year. He lost to Middle Tennessee the year prior. So like they were horrible last year. They were horrible, mm-hmm. horrible last year.
They were bad. But you like their quarterback, right? For Miami? Van Dyke.
All right. Ron hasn't been here in a while and he's already pissing me off. Let's move on to our next topic. So there's been a lot of news pushing lately with the new NCAA college football video game. And we're getting more info revealed. I'm glad that they're actually being public with everything. They revealed all of the people that are going to be on the in-game broadcast. They have revealed all of the 134 FBS football teams will be playable and available within the game. It has been proven, I believe, that there will not be FCS representation. I know that this show originated as an FCS football podcast. You and I played FCS football. As nice as it would have been to include FCS teams, I'm not really hurt by this because it would have required so much extra work to get those teams into the game. I would much rather they spend the time on building a quality product. And the gameplay, I'm not super worried about because the Madden engine is actually not as bad as everyone thinks. But as long as the right features operate the way that they're supposed to and they've taken the suggestions and the game is fun to play, that is what I am more worried about. It's also, I saw somebody say they should do individual game covers for all 134 teams. No, they shouldn't. That is a waste of time, money, and effort. Make the game good. Just please, for the love of God, Dynasty Mode, Road to Glory, Mascot Mode, and I am a pig in shit. I mean, I might lose my job because I play this game so much. I'm going to be completely honest.
I get that. Here's the thing. I recently was gifted for my birthday. My family got me a Nintendo Switch, and that has consumed a lot of my time. So the exciting new video game factor is real. I'm not terribly broken up about the FCS not being included this year. I would have not liked them to be included when I was playing because I didn't want to see myself as a 30 overall. That would have really bummed me out. But for the FCS next year, I don't need all the other 130 FCS teams.
In Dynasty Mode, you always had to cut players to get down to a certain number. You would have been the first person cut on every single
come on, man. Why? Okay. Franchise mode. There were people that actually got cut before me on the team. let's remember that. But I would have.
Why is this junior a 45? Oh my God.
10 speed? That's there. I would have had it 10 speed. God, I'm so slow. I am so slow. Next year, though, on the next game, give me the top 25. I don't need all of them. Give me the top 25 teams at the end of the year. You'll have plenty of times. It's 25 stadiums. If we can get the Kibbe Dome in the game, that's a win for me and the FCS.
Yeah, wait. I would have loved to have played in the Kibbe Dome. I will admit that.
The Kibbe Dome belongs in this game. There are unique FCS venues that I think could be fun in this game. We can't include all of them. It's still people working on this. And Joe and I, we're not in it, but we know how much goes into it. So it's going to be a mess to try to get them all. Give me the top 25 after every year. And then, hey, incentive boost for you to play a little better in the FCS. You get top 25, you're in the game. You get bumped out, you're not.
Well, it's also been a consistent feature that you can build teams and like put them together. And that hasn't really been in Madden But for my, from what I was kind of seeing on Twitter, and I was listening to a podcast that brought it up, the whole intention of this is for increased user experience. And I believe that there is going to be that capability.
I would say Montana fans aren't thrilled that their stadium, as I would call it, is not included.
I am not
opening that can of worms. And I don't know how that comment got pinned to the screen. It wasn't me.
Shut up. That was our intern. Take ownership.
That was our intern, John. That's who that was.
Jack Collinsworth will no longer be the play-by-play man for Notre Dame on NBC. That was announced today. Got to say, very, very positive news. One of the worst Nepo babies out there in broadcasting. He's fine. He's fine as like a sideline guy. He is not a play-by-play. Anyone who's listened to those broadcasts, he is the most boring, uninteresting, unmotivated, dry play-by-plays that I have ever listened to. And I, like, I get it. It's nice that he was a former Notre Dame student and that he got to do it. But oh my God, he's so goddamn dry. I, though, am going to be pissed if it's somebody in Jason Garrett. Because I can't.
Garrett's worse. He's terrible. Jason Garrett on NBC is bad, and the producers are making him too stiff. Collinsworth, remember, dude, have you ever seen clips of young Joe Buck going about?
Yeah. Calling it
tough. Yeah. They're tough. They're dry. They're boring. I think when you're young, you don't want to sound too excited. You want to sound older.
No 20-year-old should be a play-by-play.
No, I agree.
Except Noah Eagle.
Noah Eagles is certified. I've turned the corner on him. I think he's pretty good. Collinsworth was trying to do that, just be a super pro, talk about that. He was not trying to overreach. And I don't mind when a play-by-play guy overreaches every now and then. But young guys, they either do it too much or not enough. He's got to find his happy medium. He couldn't find it at Notre Dame. It's a little bit rough. I've stopped getting as offended with him on NBC pregame. It's still a little bit feels forced, but it is what it is. What are we going to do about it? I think Garrett in the booth for you, though, would be a huge mistake.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at here. It kind of takes away from the positive news that they're going to go in a better direction. And the thing that sucks is that they've had some brilliant broadcasters that have done this Notre Dame on NBC broadcast. Like Tirico at one point was doing it. They have had some like amazing, amazing broadcasters that have gone on to do some great stuff. And it just
goes an NBC guy. Yeah. Makes sense.
Well, I believe the trajectory, the way that they brought him, they hired him with the intention that they knew Al Michaels was either going to retire or move on. And so, you know, you bring him in, you put him on, you can't put him on Sunday Night Football. So you throw him in, you have him do the Notre Dame game. He did a lot of hockey. He was really good at hockey.
But he's the best. I think Tirico's the best. He's my favorite personally.
Yeah, it ruined the watching experience of these games, having to listen to him and Garrett. I don't know how there are like decent options out there of former Notre Dame players that they could pull from, but we'll see what ends up happening with that.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The MLB pants situation. I'll let you lead this one in.
Yeah, so the MLB decided to have Fanatics be their apparel sponsor this season. It has gone poorly so far. The optics and the jerseys have not been received well by fans. I haven't seen anybody say, I like these. Not one, hey, you guys are overreacting, or hey, you know, I kind of don't mind them. I'm not seeing that. I see worst jerseys I've ever seen. How are they going to make this work? They look like little league uniforms. They look like store-bought uniforms. They don't look like professional uniforms. And it hasn't stopped. Normally, uniform and jersey rage is hack, and it goes away after about 8 hours. This one has continued for about two, 3 days ever since the release, because they the MLB slow rolled the release where it was a bunch of jerseys and the jerseys looked like shit. And then they're like, okay, fine, we got that out of the way. Then they started doing full body and we're in spring training now. And the pants are even worse because if you haven't worn baseball pants, there's two options. You either have a little bit thicker, you can't see through them, and they're a little more restrictive, but it's a classic look. And then you have cheapo, I can't believe it. This is what a 45-year-old lady would wear at the beach over her bikini bottom. It's like a shawl, so it's transparent. And these players have started wearing them in spring training, and you can see everything. You can see the brand of the sliding shorts underneath the pants. You can see the jersey balls in the pants. You see dick. You see ass. You see balls. You see grundle. You see all of it. You are getting to know these players with great intimacy. And I've also seen in some spring training games, players are bringing back their old pants. I don't think it's here to stay, but the MLB continues to shoot itself in the foot. They've got a ton of targets to shoot at. They could talk about blackouts. They could talk about popularity, social presence. They could talk about fan engagement. Shoot at those targets. But the only target they like shooting at is they look down, they see their big fat fucking foot, and they unload into it every time. They can't get it right. They had great jerseys, Joe, and now they don't even look bad, or they don't even look good. They're not functional. You can see everything. I am so embarrassed for the MLB players that are dealing with this. We had Adidas at least. And, you know, for the big fellas, you can see just about everything. But for the most part, people are covered.
Yeah.
It's madness. I cannot believe the MLB has not just recalled everything yet. Have you seen them?
No, I've seen them plenty. I mean, and you sent me the picture of the guy's balls. It's just crazy that there is not more of an attention to detail on something like this.
Why would they go?
It's just garbage. It's just complete and utter garbage.
They're the MLB. Why would you ever go cheap if you're the MLB?
Well, and the craziest part too is that the biggest knock on the MLB is their attention to detail and the ability for connection with players and all that stuff. And I mean, this is just a total miss. I would love to know who's responsible for even allowing Fanatics for sure owns the distribution for the jerseys. They're producing them.
Here's the thing. The only way I respect this move is if somebody pipes up and says, yeah, we wanted to show it all. What are you going to do about it? That's the only way.
Jesus Christ.
If someone says, you like what you saw? You liked it? You like what you saw? I'm like, I mean, I didn't hate it. I just didn't love it for them. So that's where I'm standing at. That's the only way if they say it's intentional. If this was an accident, then the MLB should just they should just start over from the ground. Everybody out. Bring in the NFL rejects, and then we'll let them build up.
Last thing I want to get to before we get to any listener questions. The concert thing that I referenced earlier that has been all over Twitter. There's speculation if it's real or not. Some people think that this is a staged interaction, but what do you, I mean, it would be brilliant marketing by this artist if it was, but can you provide a little bit of extra context here on what I'm talking about?
So there's a performer, Stanley Omadida, or Omalay, as he's popularly known as his artist name. Not familiar with his work, but I was able to kind of scope out through the videos, the scene, figure it out. He's a performer.
Wait, was his performance in the U.S.?
I have no clue. I did not dig to see where it was.
Okay.
Performing on stage, some singing, fun, good vibes. Looks fun. He just like some solo male performers, he decides to bring a lady up from the crowd for a personal dance. We see it happen all the time. Usher's the king of this. He's kind of doing some Usher bits. The girl joins him up on stage. You know, they kind of dance around a little bit, and then they throw it wouldn't be a tapestry, but like a almost like a projector screen where you could see their silhouettes. They're lit up behind the screen.
Yeah, only the silhouette. You couldn't see them.
You could see the silhouette, and we'll just say this was some
erotic. Got graphic, really, very graphic, very quickly.
It was kind of, I'm sitting here like, oh, that's how they're getting down at these shows. Man, I'll pop out, see what's going on, try to catch some ass. Regardless, they're shaking ass at these shows. They have to be. brings the perform the performer brings the lady up. They dance. They get after a little bit with the silhouettes, and then I don't know how everybody had cameras camera angles of it.
Oh, there's a million camera angles. There's so I've never many camera seen angles.
A better publicized clip. There's 40 camera angles of the woman's boyfriend in the stands, front row. He's kind of leaning on the little,
shaking his head,
separation, kind of shaking his head, smiling like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. You could see him smiling through the pain, like, oh, I can't believe she went up. Like, what's going on back there? And you could tell he's being tortured. He's trying to be a good sport. 1,000 phones on him. His girl's up on stage. I mean, getting after it a little bit with the dancing.
Yeah, yeah. And it couldn't be any more of a public violation or if you, yes, draw across a lot of lines.
If you didn't want your girl going up there, you're having a bad time. That's how it is. There's videos after the show of him walking away. She's still talking to her friends. There's speculation that they split. So then the question, and hypothetical Twitter is the best. What do you do? What do you do if you're the guy?
Well, the first question I have for you, if you got called up there, would you go up?
Me personally?
Yeah. Would you go up there?
Yeah, I think I would. I'm going up there.
All right. I'm not going to question that.
I don't think me currently, I wouldn't dance on Omalay. But I'll see, I'll shake a little bit. I'll see.
There's like a really good family shake. There's a really good Family Guy clip where that happens, where he gets called up. Actually, I think it's Usher. I think,
I bet it would be Usher. Usher's the king of this.
There's a clip where he's at an Usher concert and he gets called up and Usher starts grinding up on him. It made me immediately think of that, which is why I asked it. Yes. So the question is now is that if you're the boyfriend and you're in the situation, your girlfriend gets called up on stage for any artist.
She's and chosen, the chosen one.
Chosen.
And you're sitting here. And when dudes have this talk, oh, if Janet Jackson called me up. Yeah, I'm going. Because, you know, she does that. Oh, it happens. Yeah. Both sides of the aisle.
I don't know if it was a female artist. Like, I seriously doubt that I'd get called up. I don't know. It's pointed at the dumpy... goofy white kid.
I'm aware. No, I would not get called on, but you better not point in my vicinity because I'm going to be over that separation point real quick.
The debate, though, now is what do you do in that situation if your significant other, whoever you're dating, gets called up there, gets grinded up on by an artist? I mean, like, there's no... I think even if you go on the spectrum, on the lighter side of the spectrum, even if they just get danced on by an artist, my only reaction to this is I don't care how much I spend on the tickets. I'm leaving. There is no recoverable situation in that spot. You leave. I'm turning my phone off for the night. I'm going to bed, or I'm going to a bar and then I'm going to bed. I am not interacting with that individual that I brought to the concert, because there is no salvaging that. Absolutely no salvaging that. I've seen a lot of people defend the girlfriend in this situation by saying, like, oh, you're not secure if you have a problem with that. Bullshit. That is another adult male that your girlfriend is getting physically involved with in front of thousands of people with no shame.
Yeah, it'd be really tough. And I have... when I was in Amsterdam, I went to a show that featured explicit acts. And sometimes it was just performers, and sometimes there was crowd work. And I saw I saw the right way to do crowd work, where it's light and fun. It's like, oh, I did it. You know, it's fun. You're not getting all involved.
It
but
did
you're,
it you're, as you're, in what?
What do you mean?
I think there's a lot of vagueness to, never mind. If you don't want
to
go,
I went to
describe what the action was.
I just don't know if I can describe it without sounding like a pervert, but you go to Amsterdam, you see a sex show, and I saw the sex show, but in between there were like little breaks, like fun breaks where contestants, where people would go on and they dance or they'd play around with like a banana or something else phallic, or there'd be another performer that would call them up and you'd raise your hand if you're a volunteer. And it's not just pulling somebody out of the crowd. So I saw it, and everybody there was cool. It's like, all right, cool. That's cool. This is what it is. You go to a concert, you're kind of just expecting, hey, me and my girl are going to go here. We're going to dance. We're going to just watch the artist leave, talk about how fun it was. Not, hey, I'm going to go to the concert, watch my girl go up there, get grinded on. So you have different expectations. Also, A-list star, way different than like, I'm certain Omalay is big because this story has gone huge. But unless worldwide, nation known by everybody, that's a tough scene. Because who's your number? Who would you? Dua Lipa? Dua Lipa calls you up. You're not going to go up. How do you not? There's no, that'd be the huge, like, unbelievable.
I don't know. I don't think I would. I mean, if you're there with somebody, then you're in a happy relationship. No, you don't go up there and do that. That's the whole point there. You don't do that if you're happy in your relationship.
I think maybe you do that if you're unhappy or if you're incredibly happy and you think, oh, they won't care if I go up here and get after it.
Wait. So this opens a completely different discussion, though, because I personally think like one of the biggest turnoffs and biggest red flags is when whoever you're dating has an unhealthy association with celebrities, musical artists, whatever, and how they interact with them. So I've told you this story before, but when I first moved to LA, started seeing somebody for a few weeks. And one of the days we went out down to Malibu just to kind of walk around, 'cause there's like a boardwalk and stuff, it's a restaurant, and we're walking on the boardwalk. We walk into one of the shops, and the girl I was seeing at the time was a big Machine Gun Kelly fan. Machine Gun Kelly's in there. And she was so exacerbated by the fact that he was there that she couldn't move, could not like get words out, tries to go up to him and say, can I please get a picture with you? He ignores her. Megan Fox says, no, I'm sorry. He's with his daughter, like clear as day. No. And then 10 minutes later, after we walk outside of there, and after she's like, wow, that was, or I was like, wow, it's kind of cool that he was in there. She's losing her mind. She then eventually runs up to him while he's trying to get into his car
and forces
the guy to take a picture with him. So this is the unhealthy association, which there's plenty of people in our age demographic that have with celebrities, with musical artists, whatever it is, that unhealthy association to me is disturbing. So if you have that unhealthy of a connection with somebody that you can't, no matter what, can't turn down the opportunity and you have to go up there, I don't want to date you. That's the key takeaway here. Forget it feels like cheating because you're interacting sexually with another man in front of thousands of people. The fact that you can't have the self-control to say no means that you're probably not going to have the self-control to say no down the line in a different situation when you're married for 10 years and you might not get in a similar situation, but they have an opportunity to cheat and they will.
I think that's rational. I do. I just know. I just don't know how much of a hypocrite I can be about this, because a lot of dudes are trying to be real hypocritical. I would never. But if Ruby Rose was on the stage and she pulled you up, you're having a bit of a different story with yourself, aren't you? Once in a lifetime opportunity. That's kind of where I'm looking at it.
This is we can't even bring up that angle, because as much as we try to, in all seriousness, as much as we try to make this a conversation of equality amongst sexes, there isn't. There are like 0.01% of men that would be attractive enough to get called up onto a stage during performing. And on top of that, most of those guys aren't going to those shows. So this scenario realistically will literally never happen and won't happen to the average guy that's in a relationship. Comparably, I would say like 10% of women are attractive enough to get called up to go on stage to do something like this.
Where are you on putting your girlfriend on your shoulders for a performer at a concert? What if he's male? Because I see videos of like Chris Brown shows and there's dudes that got their girlfriends on their shoulders and they're like taking their bras off and throwing them on the stage. And I'm like,
all right,
on my shoulders doing all this? I don't know about that.
Oh, I'm dropping you.
You know what? You can go sit on C Breezy's shoulders and then she does. You know, maybe that's the whole point, is that she's at least sitting on your shoulders.
There is an unbelievably horny string of comments that are.
This is I think that the cross the
worst
between Rack and Ron, and I think they've scared off others.
Oh
yeah.
Okay, there we go. All right, let's get to these terrible questions that we have, and then we're gonna wrap up. Okay, first question from Rack, we can't ask. Second one is from Big Iron. Who would win in a fight, Joe during road rage or Prime Ali? See, I've been thinking about this question because I saw it. My road rage is not actionable. I am not the I am a New Jersey road rager where I will ride your bumper, I will flip you off, I will honk my horn at you.
The but worst I'm never person getting, you've ever met.
I'm not getting out of the car. Absolutely not. I'm not dumb. I know that I'm not going to win most fights. I'm not getting out of the car. This literally happened. This literally happened a week ago when I was driving to Palm Springs. Some dick rides up on my bumper, goes, zips around me, cuts me off. So I honk my horn, flip him off. And as he's driving away, he starts to slow down. He rolls down his window and he starts motioning his hand towards me. And I'm like, no, I'm not fucking dumb. Just because you're a dick doesn't mean I'm going to get involved with your craziness.
It's a Wednesday at 4. I'm not trying to throw them things and get my ass beat.
Right. I'm just letting you know what you did wasn't okay. I'm not sitting here. I'm not looking to get into a fight.
Well, Joe, people don't tend to like that. You telling them that they're making all the mistakes and you're doing well.
I am just the messenger here. Me honking and flipping you off is me communicating, hey, man, you're bad at this. You're not good at this. That's the communication. Anything you want to add?
I think road rage, Joe. I don't think he gets knocked out by Ali on the first punch. I think he's got enough rage to carry him into another punch. And then maybe he could even land a body blow. Like, Joe's so small, he'd probably like punch Ali right in like in the chest and like the hardest part of his
yeah,
body.
Yeah, I literally die. Chester's question, I'm not going to read. Rack asks, have you ever clapped your balls when getting out of the shower? Basically thrusting your hips forward and back to create a clapping sound.
Sometimes they just clap. Sometimes they don't. I've never like
there was a follow-up comment by a random Vandal fan that doesn't even follow me that said posted an oh wow comment, and then Rack goes, "We'll have you," and then PXD Vandal goes, "Of course I have, but I just don't post about it."
What about Joe? Do you?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't purposely clack.
All right, Chester asks, I appreciate that Chester at least tries to put one good question in here. What is your favorite album of all time?
Oh, shit. So many. Food.
Graduation's got to be up there.
Easy Breezy Beautiful Thugger Girls is the best summer album I've ever heard. If it's warm weather, that's the best album you could ever listen to. God, that's a great question. Acid Rap, I know it was a mixtape, but that kind of changed my life when I was young and impressionable. You got anything, Joe? You got any more? Were you 2014 Fourth Wheel Drive? Is that you?
I mean, I'm not
a great album. I'm not a huge Cole guy, but that's a great album.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not enough of a music junkie to like be able to name albums off the top of my head. I'm just gonna be completely honest. It's just not my.
I'm starting to warm up to like classic rock a little more. I'll dive into that. I'm sure there's a ton of kick-ass albums there. But yeah, I mean, there's some really good Thug albums. Really good MF Doom albums. That's just what I'm hot at right. I'm on right now.
Alex Kinkle asks, tag team tournament between you guys and every other FCS podcast group, who wins? Okay, so if we're just talking the national shows, which there's not many, I mean, we obviously win that, but I immediately think of we would not win against Brendan and Chad. And
they've worked for a living.
Well, there's three of them, and they're all huge.
Brendan is a problem. Brendan would be a problem. Yeah. Every time I Brendan shake
would
his
kick
hand,
your ass. He would kick your ass.
Okay,
so I don't,
first of all, let's not go throwing around Brendan would just kick my ass. That would be cool. All right, let's not go doing that. Because I don't think he would kick my ass. I think it would be a good fight.
I think he'd kick your ass.
You think you're getting Chad
no,
would beat the hell out
no.
of you?
No, I mean, that's my point is that you and Brendan will be
you
going toe to toe, and I'm in two
and
on
then you
one.
Talk to me. If you get by Herder, then you can talk
I don't know
to
how
me.
Big Herder is. I don't know how big Sam Herder is, so I don't know what.
Congrats, Sam, by the way. I think he
got engaged. He's a Midwestern guy, so like there's a chance that like he's either 5'11 or he's 6'8. There is there's no in between. There's no way of telling.
The Blue Bloods, I think we clean them up. I think we crush them. Beat the hell out of Jamie Williams. This is all given the opportunity. I'm not looking to beat up anybody. I'm not looking to
like it.
Roger McCreary, I'd throw him over the bar.
No one is putting a gun to your head and you're just calling shots over here. What are you? You're just like trying to be mean to be mean. Next question by Chester. As real shitters, what's the best and worst establishment to go to work in? I'd have to go worst Walmart. Walmart bathrooms are never clean, and Busey's being the best. I mean, we've already Buc-ee's. Sorry, Buc-ee's. Don't do this.
Hey, I'm Gary Buc-ee. Check me out in my new movie. I got big teeth. I'm Gary Buc-ee. I don't know enough Gary Busey stick. Fuck. God damn it. You guys got to get me some Gary Busey jokes, man, because this I will run with.
What?
Busey, Buc-ee's. Yeah, I try to flip them, interchange it. That's what the talented ones can do. I got no file on Gary Busey.
The grocery store shit has to be one of the most humbling experiences that you're ever going to have because those bathrooms are never kept up. If you're stopping in any gas station while you're driving, I'm praying for you.
Home Depot's not bad.
Home Depot?
A lot of space. People are trying to walk around. I think that's home. I've done okay.
Wait, are we talking about the actual Home Depot toilets? Or are we talking about using a toilet in the toilet display section? Is that what's the...
none of the actual restrooms in Home Depot. I'm not saying you park yourself right in the middle of
aisle 18. If you really want to test those things out, you got to...
All right. The best bathroom is it's an 18. It's right past hardware. All right. You just go right there. It's in plumbing. The big toilets.
I'm trying to think what would be like what's the best public encounter. I mean, I tell you what, the Radio Row ones are usually pretty good.
I'll never go in a coffee shop. I'll tell you, I'll give them credit about this. Sirius XM had some stellar bathrooms.
That's a work one. That one doesn't count. The work one doesn't count. I tell you what, and we've talked about this on the show. Any arena when nobody else is in it means that they've been thoroughly cleaned, and those things have horsepower on them. So like those things are usually big.
Yeah,
they're high quality. They're comfortable. If you're getting into one of those arenas at like 10 a.m. they've been cleaned, easily the best.
Bottom floor of a hotel, walking in there, that one's not bad.
That one's always a little risky.
It's risky, but they keep up with it. God, that's a good question.
Have you ever done the steakhouse before? I've done the steakhouse one before.
Too much shame.
No, man, talk about a real shitter, man. The steakhouse shit.
You're letting people know you just got down with a ribeye, and now you're getting down.
Oh, my God, I would gladly. I mean, there's been a couple times where like I've been at like a nice restaurant or a steakhouse and I've gone into the bathroom just to like wash my hands or something. And someone's just going to town in there and I've respected the hell out of them. I've respected the hell out of those people. That's a real man right there. That's a real shitter.
Here's the thing. I never like being outside the stall. If my business is inside the stall. If I'm outside looking in, I'm not a happy camper. Unlike you, who seems to revel in the glory of others, destroying the establishment.
That's the point, though. You're not a real shitter if you don't.
No. I am a real shitter because of the damage I do on the inside. I've earned that, but I don't think I have the passion. I'm kind of like Anthony Rendon. I could hit 300 if I really wanted to, but I don't really love the game that much.
Yeah, you got to want it more, man.
But I tell you what, I can get you doubles every day. I can get you a double every day,
Joe. I'm cutting you from my roster, man. I need home runs. I want touchdowns. I want paint. I'm not going to finish this thing.
No. What's wrong with you?
I will say the one I took at the golf course one's usually a good one because the crowd's not ready for it. Jesus Christ. I did have my buddy did dispose of his cigarettes in one of the in one of the cups that we were playing on.
You know how freaking bothered I'd be if I just hit a birdie putt and I chip in from way out and I go in and my ball is submerged in some hot stank sitting in the cup. You know how pissed I'd be. I'd fight everybody. I'd destroy that green.
And it was like a $100 round too. It's not like we were playing some cheap muni. Like it was like a good
hole five good course. Unplayable for everybody after I'm done with it. If I find a turd in the cup.
Wait, by the way, I was getting admonished a little bit by my friends. I was getting made fun of, and then one of my buddies wanted to steal one, and he smoked one with me. Thoughts on wood tips on the golf course? Yes or no?
Like black and milds?
Yeah, like a black and mild classy. Wood tip.
Classy.
Okay. All right. I'm glad they're on the same page.
Immediately.
I can play around a round of golf with you then.
To the black and mild, to the
wood
tip.
That's good to know.
I'd go cigar, and then I'd go wood tip, and then I'd go cigarette. I don't like cigarettes. I just hate the taste. So I respect golf course cigs. I don't imbibe, though.
Yeah, they go too quick. That's my only.
I just like, I think it's a badass. It's a great look for a dude. If you can be puffing a cigar, set it down on driving green, smoke a drive, and pick it back up. Like that's something that you can't, that's just badass.
I will say one of the things that is always overlooked when you're smoking something, cigar, wood tip, cigarillo, whatever it is, you can't keep it in your mouth when you're going to tee off or hit the ball or whatever, because there had me so many times this past weekend, I'd inhale like just to breathe. So I'm just going like whoosh, just blasting my lungs away through there. Right through. Yeah, basically.
God.
I had to step off.
It actually helps me keep my head down, I think. I think I make better contact with the ball because I'm not trying to get the ash everywhere. So I'm just kind of like, all right, head down, right through. God, it's working. Like I'm striking them today. Then I start getting buzzed and the game goes to hell.
If you do a lit one, lit cig in the ear is a real big ball.
You stick lit cigarettes in your ear?
No, I would not. I would not.
Over
would
the not ear. That. Not in your ear.
Over, not in the ear.
You stick.
Just vertically one sticking out.
God.
That's just not a bad idea. It's just not a bad idea. It's a
terrible idea.
All right, that's going to wrap us up on, folks. Thanks for tuning in. We will not have a stream next Thursday because I'm going to be in Indianapolis.
Mm.
The following week, are you in Japan?
Yes.
Okay, and then when do you get back?
The 20th.
All right, so our next live stream is going to be on the
plan on doing shows from Japan.
Well, we won't do live shows because I don't know what the internet's going to be like.
Well, we'll test it out. We'll see.
It's not going to be good. At Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio.
About the world.
You know nothing. You're on the opposite side of the country. You think that there's going to be good latency with that? The
best internet on earth.
You're staying in hotels. Wait, who best internet on earth? Who the fuck keeps track of that? Who knows? Who knows?
I know.
You hit the subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review. I'm done. I'm done. Goodbye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.